deeper look in the book. This broadcast is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where the pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will be bringing a series of studies out of the book of Leviticus. So get close to your radios and listen now as we take a deeper look in the book.
Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
Book of the Bible. We have made it to the third book of the Bible. The first book of the Bible is the book of what? Genesis. The second book of the Bible is the book of Exodus. The third book of the Bible is the book of Leviticus. It is right in the center of what is called the Pentateuch, of the first five books of the Bible. The first two books is what again? Genesis, Exodus, and then the next book is Leviticus. Then the next book after that is what? Numbers. Then the next book after that is what? Deuteronomy. Now, out of those five books, what is the center book? The middle of the Pentateuch, right in the middle of those five books, is the book of Leviticus, the book of Leviticus. Now, this book is dealing with, or the name Leviticus means pertaining to the Levites, pertaining to the Levites. If they didn't know any other book, the Levites needed to know this book. Who were the Levites? How many tribes of Israel was there? 12 tribes. And one of the tribes was the tribe of Levi. And they were chosen, this one tribe, to minister to all of the other 11 tribes. The tribe of Levi, the Levites as they was called, that's where you got your preachers or your priests, and that's where you got your Levites or the deacons. We would call them the preachers and the deacons from that tribe. So this was basically their book. This was their kind of preacher's manual, so to speak. This if they didn't know none other book, this was the book that they had to master. They didn't know how to be a preacher unless they read this book here. They had to read the book of Leviticus. They didn't know how to carry out their assignment there at the tabernacle. Keep in mind, as we close out the book of Exodus closed out with what? The tabernacle. And what was the tabernacle? What was the tabernacle? Was that a club? What was the tabernacle? It was a what? It was a place of worship. It was, basically, it was a mobile church. It was a mobile church. It was a church housed in the wilderness on wheels, because it was a big tent and they would put it up. But keep in mind, they was marching in that wilderness how many years? 40 years. And so everywhere they went, they set up camp, and right in the middle of the camp, they had the tabernacle. Three tribes, camped to the west of the tabernacle. Three tribes camped to the east of the tabernacle. Three tribes camped to the north of the tabernacle. And three tribes camped to the south of the tabernacle. And so regardless where you was at in Israel, God was right there in the center of his people. And so anybody in Israel had access, matter of fact, equal access to God. Amen. Amen. And God wanted to dwell among his people. But God says, now, if I'm going to dwell among y'all, he says, I got to give you some guidelines. Because how can a holy God dwell among sinful people? What a question. How can a holy God, we're talking about the God of heaven, he's going to come out of a perfect place and he's going to come down in an imperfect place. He's leaving a holy place and he's going to be right in the center of unholiness. So how can a holy God dwell among sinful people? Because the Bible teaches us that unholiness and unrighteousness cannot tarry in the eyesight of God. It's just a natural reaction. The Bible says that God is a consuming fire. So anything that is unholy, when it comes in the presence of God, it automatically get burned up. Automatically. Automatically. So how can a holy God dwell among unholy people? Well, the book of Leviticus answers that question for us. So are we ready to get started? All right. So the name of the book, Leviticus, it means pertaining to the Levites. The theme is the holiness of God. The word holy is found 80 times in this book. This book deals with separation and the communion of fellowship of God's people. So this book is going to teach us how we can have fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. Fellowship. Have fellowship with God. One of the keys, I'm going to give you a hint of how we can have fellowship with God. What did we do on First Sunday? And what do we always do on First Sunday here at Bible Way? We have what? We have what? We have holy communion, holy fellowship. How can y'all, no, I can't say y'all, can I? No, I can't say y'all. How can we, because I got to include myself there, can have holy communion, a holy fellowship, and we being unholy? How can we have holy fellowship with a holy God and we unholy? Hello, somebody. Amen, amen, amen. We're gonna answer that question before the night is over with. You're gonna really appreciate First Sunday before you leave here. Amen, amen. Sacrifice. That's another thing of the book. Leviticus is a book of sacrifices. The key chapter is Leviticus 16, and the key verse is Leviticus 17 and 11. Somebody get that for me. 17 and 11, Leviticus. 17 and 11. Who got that? All right.
Leviticus chapter, is this on?
Can you hear me?
Chapter 17, verse 11. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself.
All right. All right. All right. All right. Atonement. Atonement is going to be key in that book, in this book of Leviticus. Leviticus present many pictures of Christ and his work of redemption on the cross. The five sacrifices illustrate various aspects of his person and his work. Did you hear what I said? We're going to look at five offerings. This book deals with five offerings. And these five offerings is a picture, or they illustrate for us the work of Jesus Christ. All right? So that's basically what I want to look at tonight. I want to look at these five pictures of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Five pictures of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. The first one is the picture of the burnt offering. The picture of the burnt offering. Look at what the text says. It says, and the Lord God, verse 1, spoke unto Moses and spoke unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation. He said, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of cattle, even of the herds and of the flock. If the offering be a what? A burnt sacrifice of the herbs, let him offer a what? A male without blemish, and he shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hands upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement of him. All right, or for him. All right. God says now, if any man offer a burnt offering, why would a person offer a burnt offering? Why would a person offer a burnt offering? Now, if what we're talking about a burnt offering, we're talking about you bring like a cow, an ox. You bring this ox, and you put your hands on this ox, and then you would take the knife, and you would cut the ox throat, and the priest would have the blood, and he would take that animal and put the whole animal on a blazing altar and would burn up that whole animal. Isn't that something? But he would take the blood and he would offer the blood as an atonement for that person's sin. All right, so we see then how a holy God can dwell in the presence of unholy people. It's by way of sacrifice, by way of offerings. All right, now this first offering, this burnt offering, the whole animal was given to God. What is this showing? This shows us that when Christ died on the cross, he didn't offer to God just an arm, a leg, an ear, but he offered to his heavenly Father what? His whole body. He presented his whole body to God, all right, to show complete dedication. Amen. Now, you think about it. Let's say you committed a sin. Whenever somebody committed a sin, the Bible says sin brings death. Somebody got to die. It's just like Adam and Eve. When they committed that bad, terrible sin, and what was their bad, terrible sin? Because they really, I mean, y'all read that first story of the Bible. That was a horrible story. What did they do? Ate off the, what? They done what? They ate off a tree. They just ate a piece of fruit. No, they must have done something worse than that. I know God didn't kick them out of the garden, I mean, just for eating a piece of fruit. I mean, they just, it was just a piece of fruit. It was a piece of forbidden fruit. And they got kicked out of the garden for that? Now, you think, if God kicked them out the garden for that little bitty thing, what about you and I, who have done something a whole lot worse? So a lot of time, we sin and we say, well, you know, God understand. Look at that. He didn't understand on that them eating that piece of fruit. Now, to me, if he was going to understand, it looked like to me he would have understood that. Right? Well, I'm gonna cut you some slack because it wasn't nothing but a, you know, you can just pick whatever fruit you want because I don't know. Some folks say it was an apple. It may have been a grape. It don't really tell us what fruit it was. It's just the thing about that apple. Once you see an apple, you could already done ate dinner. But it's something about that, it look like that apple be saying. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever, a pretty red apple, and particularly if it's at, you at work and it's on somebody's desk and you walk by there and you see that apple. And then the next day you walk by there and say, now, do this belong to anybody? It just look like that apple be calling you, don't it? Amen. Particularly if you ain't got no money for that nap machine. Huh? Hello, somebody. Amen. Now, you see how God responded. Amen. And then, what did God have to do in order to keep from killing Adam and Eve? How did they get their fur coats? He had to kill an animal and take those fig leaves off them. You know, man still don't know how to dress himself. You know, I imagine God is sitting in heaven, and even though, you know, we going to Macy's and Dillard's and stuff, I bet God is still saying, man, they still putting on them fig leaves down there. Because God's standard is real, real high. And God had to kill an animal in order to have relationship with them. God still hadn't changed. And so God was saying, okay, now in order for me to come down here, look, we ain't went how far in the Bible, in this chapter of Leviticus, before God started talking about a burnt offering? How many verses in this chapter before God bring up the subject of offerings? Huh? 1 verse, and then God just kind of give us an introduction. Just kind of give us an introduction in verse 1, didn't it? But notice how he starts out. And. Wait a minute. What is and? English major? Somebody in here majored in English. Who in here knows some English that can help us? And is a what? And is a conjunction. So that lets us know God is linking the past with the present. Amen. Notice what he says. He says, and Wait a minute. Go back to the book of Exodus. How did he end the book of Exodus? Huh? How did he end the book of Exodus? He ended it talking to Moses, didn't he? The Bible says in verse 34, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter the tent of the tabernacle. Why? Because the cloud abode thereof, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. God coming down, y'all. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went forward or onward in their journey. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they would journey not till that day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout their journey. And the Lord called unto Moses. See, God done came down, and now God said, now let's have a meeting, Moses. Let me tell you how I can stay down here. How can God stay down there? He said, you got to bring me a sacrifice. When anybody mess up, either an animal going to have to die or they finna die. Isn't that something? God, see, a lot of times people say, you know, I want God in my life. Do you really want it? Because he's holy. And he don't play. See, it's two things about God. God is going to bless you or curse you. That's why I say, every Sunday, I want you to get it. You obey God, you don't have to go hunt no blessings. Say, I'm going to try to find me a blessing over here. You don't have to go try and find no blessing. Them blessings going to come after you. Amen. God is going to command his blessings to come after you. But if you disobey God, he's going to command them curses. Amen. Amen. See, our Bible covenant ain't no one-sided Bible covenant. I listen to some of these fellas, they get Bible covenant, and they just so one-sided. I say, that ain't no Bible covenant. That's a false covenant. You better tell the whole story. And like I always say, every nickel got a head and a tail. I don't want no nickel if it's just got a head. Hello, somebody. Yeah. Yeah. That's just like somebody trying to give me a dollar and it don't have George Washington on it. Hello, somebody. Huh? Who's on the dollar? Huh? Who's on the dollar? Amen. 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 All right, so God says, bring me a burnt offering. And this burnt offering signifies. Now, I want you to think about what God is trying to get people to see is that sin costs. Now, you think about it. Let's say I got two oxen. I got two oxen. And I need both of my oxen to plow this field. I got my 40 acres. Y'all may didn't get y'all 40, but I got my 40. Amen. I got me two oxen. But let's say I mess up. Let's say I commit sin. You know what I need to hear up and do? I need to take one of them oxen.
Bread of life sent down from glory.
If you would like a copy of the Bible study that you have just heard in its entirety, please contact the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or you can visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. Again, that is BibleWayIrving.org. And come out and visit us on a Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock where you can hear Dr. Wilbur go in depth into his Bible studies. Again, that is at 7 o'clock at 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas. And always remember, bring a paper and a pen because we are going to take a deeper look in the book.